This is the audio presentation covering the exercises in Latin lessons 22 and 23. Please turn to page 126 and the next to last list of Latin bases to memorize. To the first base, grat, G-R-A-T, please add the form grati with an I on the end. You'll need that I to etymologize ingratiate in sentence 20 on page 128. About the next base, misc, misct, M-I-S-C, M-I-X-T, make a note that the T at the end of the second form, mixed, is optional. Put it in parentheses. You'll need the form mix to etymologize our word mix, which comes from this base. Note also that this base has a sexual sense. Mixing can imply, you can see what it can imply in words like promiscuous and miscegenation. If you don't know what those words mean, look them up in the dictionary. That's the point of this class. The next base, move, mote, M-O-V, M-O-T, has both a physical sense, move, and a mental sense, feel, or effect, as in motive or emotional. We noted that in the metaphors presentation. Please add the meanings feel and effect to this base. At the bottom of the list is vulg, V-U-L-G, meaning ordinary or common. Common here often implies the common people, the mob. So add those senses to the other meanings of this base. And to the end of this lesson, let's add one more base here. Prol, P-R-O-L, meaning offspring. It gives us words like proliferate, literally to bear, fur, offspring, prol, and prolific, meaning making many offspring, that is, very productive. Another derivative of this base is proletariat, a term for the lower classes, built on the implication that their contribution to society is having many children. And that's it for Lesson 22. Now let's look at Lesson 23, where Mr. Ayres addresses one of my favorite aspects of etymology, how it enhances a person's understanding of the poetry composed by great writers like William Shakespeare. If there was ever an A-plus student in this class, it was Big Will, whose writing shows a deep and broad understanding of the Latin roots infusing English. The same was no doubt true of many in his audience. He and they both benefited from an education which began with learning Latin, often at a very early age, and so most Elizabethans had some understanding of the impact the Roman language had had on English. Thus, Shakespeare, being the imaginative poet he was, often plays with the very bases and affixes we've been studying, frequently using a word's elements to give it a novel sense. For instance, look at the first quotation from Shakespeare on page 129. The people love me, and the sea is mine. My powers are crescent. Crescent here clearly does not mean what it usually means to us, having a curved shape. What does it mean? Well, what's the base? Cresc, which means grow, plus the suffix ent, meaning ing. So what does crescent mean here? Growing. Now go down to sentence 5. The Turk with a most mighty preparation makes for Cyprus. Othello, the fortitude of the place is best known to you. If you know the word fortitude, you probably understand it as bravery or stamina. But here Shakespeare wants you to hear strength. After all, as you know, and many in the Elizabethan audience did too, the base fort means strong. Let's go to the next page and look at quotation 8. Abate the edge of traitors, gracious Lord, that would reduce these bloody days again. Reducing bloody days sounds like lessening or diminishing them, which would be a good thing, wouldn't it? but that's clearly not what the speaker means. What does the prefix re mean literally? Back. And what does the base duke mean? Lead. So Shakespeare is using this word in its literal sense. Lead back. That is, bring back. Two more. In exercise 2, sentence 1 reads, "Let it stamp wrinkles on her brow of youth, with cadent tears fret channels in her cheeks." Etymologize cadent. The base cade, meaning fall, and the suffix ent, meaning ing. So cadent means falling. The tears are falling down her cheeks. And, sentence 6, "Stubbornly did he repugn the truth." What did he do? He fought pugn it back. Re. Never a wise thing to do with the truth. Extra credit to you, Mr. Shakespeare. Some very happy etymologizing. Let's end this audio presentation by looking at the bases in this lesson. First to chord, C-O-R-D, at the bottom of page 130, add the meaning feelings. The heart is the home of your emotions, and you'll need the sense feelings to interpret words like concord and accord. The base manu, M-A-N-U, on the next page means hand. But that also implies what you do with your hands. For instance, till the ground. Or handle something. Thus, handwork would be, in Latinate terms, maneuver. Manu plus oper, O-P-E-R, meaning work. In this case, the P has become V. Long story. Let's just say it's French. More important, a doublet of maneuver is manure, what farmers work into the soil by hand. Gross. Also, another derivative of this word is manatee, a sea cow, one of those big mammals which swim in the rivers of Florida. To early European explorers, their fins looked like hands, thus the name. I can't see it. Next is the base port, P-O-R-T, meaning carry, which also produces some interesting derivatives. If you report something, you're literally carrying, port, it back, re. So what are you doing if you disport? What does the prefix dis, D-I-S, mean? Apart in different directions. So etymologically, if you're disporting, you're carrying apart or in different directions. The implication being yourself. So, by disporting yourself, you're carrying yourself hither and yon, that is, running around. This produced a clip in English, our word sport, as in sports, where people certainly do carry themselves around in all sorts of different directions a lot. Perfect description. With that, I shall disport myself from your company and bid you adieu. That's it for this audio presentation. Happy etymologies.